This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hello, welcome to this podcast. My name is Anne. I've been a volunteer here at Joy for 17 years. Please continue to support Joy. This is our 25th year and we need community support by way of donations and memberships. Support Joy now during Radiothon 2018. Head to our website, click donate now. joy.org.au.
Broadway icon John Cameron Mitchell channels the essence of his glam rock icon, Hedwig and the Angry Inch, for one night only at Arts Centre Melbourne this July. So put on some makeup, turn up the A-track, and pull the wig down from the shelf. John Cameron Mitchell, July 10 at Arts Centre Melbourne. Book now. Joy sponsor.
Welcome to The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter. We are committed to bringing you the day's most important news and current affairs stories from an LGBTI perspective. If it matters to the LGBTI community, we will cover it. We want to hear from you. Join the conversation, SMS 0427 Joy 949 or email on air at joy.org.au or follow us on Twitter at The Informer Joy.
And it's up. It looks great though. Oh, just slightly wide. Conversion unsuccessful. The scoreboard still showing 22-8. And that's it. It's full time. The Sydney Convicts have won the Bingham Cup, the World Championship of Gay and Inclusive Rugby. All the players are on the pitch. Celebrations absolutely mad as every convict on the ground runs forward. This is going to be a big party tonight as Sydney takes home the Bingham Cup. Celebrations are wild as every single convict from around the field has run in. The shirts are off, the sun is out. It's a great day.
It's Monday the 11th of June. Welcome to your nightly news and current affairs show, The Informer. I'm your host, Dean Arcuri. Tonight, we're reporting from Amsterdam, as the Sydney Convicts have once again won the Bingham Cup. Taking the trophy for the fifth year in the Cup's nine-year history on the weekend, beating the Gotham Knights 22-8. The Bingham Cup three-day tournament saw gay and inclusive rugby teams take to the field from all around the world to not only compete in an inclusive tournament for silverware, but to also be a part of something greater than any individual. Join myself and Silas Palmer as we take you through Bingham 2018 from Amsterdam, which saw the tournament be even more inclusive than ever before, thanks to a women's league. We also saw stronger playing on the field that helped to make a change for many when they thought about what it means to be a part of a rugby team. Plus, we hear from the convicts as they celebrate their win.
This is The Informer, Joy's nightly news and current affairs program. We want to hear from you. Join the conversation, SMS us on 0427 Joy 949, email on air at joy.org.au or add us on Twitter at The Informer Joy.
If you've ever watched a Bingham Cup Grand Final, I think you'd agree that it's something special. All the competitiveness, but filled with a camaraderie and strength that really embodies what the tournament's all about. This year in Amsterdam, the Sydney Convicts beat the Gotham Knights 22-8 in a brilliant game that also saw the Knights take the knee as their national anthem played before the start of the match. This was cheered on by the crowd, filled with players and supporters from all around the world. But the glory went to the Sydney Convicts, who won the Bingham Cup for their fifth time in the tournament's nine-year history. Join me now with Silas Palmer as we head to the field minutes after the Sydney Convicts won the Bingham Cup for 2018.
It has been my pleasure and honour to present the Bingham Cup several times to the Sydney Convicts. And it is a wonderful experience for me to be able to humbly and proudly present to the Sydney Convicts the Bingham Cup 2018.
Captain of the Sydney Convicts, congratulations. Maybe some words? Thanks absolutely everyone for coming out. Obviously, every single volunteer, the City of Amsterdam, the Bingham Cup committees. Thank you also for our personal journey to the King's Cross Steelers A, the Emerald Warriors, the Manchester Spartans, the King's Cross Steelers A again. And then, of course, thanks very much to Gotham for a fantastic final. Thanks to the referees. The standard of the competition keeps going up and the standard of the refereeing keeps going up as well, which keeps everyone happy. Lastly, thank you to what is the most incredible club I've ever been a part of. Our bar bars, our seconds, all the support staff, all the supporters, and my amazing team.
John is the president of the Sydney Convicts Rugby Club. How do you feel today, John?
Awesome.
Did you play in the match? You look like you did. You're a sweaty man.
Yeah, oh, I don't think it's all sweaty, but yeah, I played.
What do you think about the performance of your boys today?
Oh, incredible. Like, we probably played the best tournament that we've played. We stuck to our structures. We played really hard, and despite coming up against really tough competition, still managed to win in the end.
And so, from what I've noticed, the quality of rugby seems to be improving every tournament year by year. I think this might be the best rugby I've seen at a Bingham Cup.
Yeah, it's definitely the best I've seen, and it's a testament to gain inclusive rugby around the world. We didn't have one single easy match in the entire tournament. We got tested by every team, and that's awesome. That's what this tournament's all about.
So what do you think the role of gay men and women in sport is?
Oh, I think it's just important that everyone can see it doesn't matter whether you're gay, bi, straight or whatever. You can play sport and you can play just as hard as everyone else.
Thanks so much for your time.
My name's Andrew Sanderson.
And you played in the reserves of the Convicts today?
Reserve, yeah, subs.
Yeah. What position do you normally play?
I'm playing flanker for the second row, not for the Convicts.
How are you feeling?
I'm honestly over the moon.
Yeah, is this
an indescribable feeling, honestly.
Is this the first time you've won the Bingham Cup?
This is my first Bingham Cup.
Yeah, right, okay. This is the first one you've been to.
Yeah. This is my first inclusive team, and these guys are absolutely brilliant.
So tell me about the match today. How did it go?
Well, there was a few scary moments, wasn't there?
Yeah.
We were down at one point, and I guess just, you know, these guys have an amazing spirit, and they brought it back, and we expected them to do as much, and we did.
I mean, there was that point where you were down 7-5, I believe, or
8-5,
I think it was. Yeah, you came back very quickly. What does it run through your head at that time where you've got a really key moment of the game and you just have to make it through?
Yeah, our captain keeps on speaking about our resilience as a team. We never let our heads go down, especially in moments like this. You just can't. As soon as we were down, we realized, don't put your heads down, get back in the game, and that's exactly what we did.
Yeah, absolutely true. So I noticed the Convicts' line speed was really strong in this particular match. Is that something you guys have been working on in training? Must be hard to dig deep after 6 games.
Pete, our backs coach is off. Scary about how intense his defence is. Line speed is everything. Like, we put these guys on the back foot so many times, and it means they didn't gain yards. And
they absolutely didn't. Yeah. You guys were impeccable.
Yeah. I want to say, Pete Hammond, our backs coach, and anyone of any place of importance, a position of power, get them hired, honestly.
All right.
So, actually, don't, because you're taking them away from us.
How do you feel, Fuzz?
Look, I think the whole tournament has been amazing. 2,500 rugby players, 16 countries, 74 teams, a women's competition involved, and then the Convicts winning. I mean, it almost couldn't be better, you know, and the standard rugby has been absolutely incredible.
What would it take to make it better for you?
Oh, I'm getting laid tonight.
No. How does it feel? It's the second win for the Convicts. This is your home team. How does it feel to know that three Binghams in a row, we're keeping the cup in Australia?
Oh, look, that's awesome. I mean, the strength of gay rugby in Australia is paramount, you know. So it's amazing. Last year it was two Australian teams. The Bingham Cup before that, it was two Australian teams in the final. This year, another Australian team is winning it. You know, the fact that we're stamping our mark on this is fantastic, you know, and it's all about playing good, hard rugby, and the rest of the stuff just follows.
Of course, you're the outgoing chairperson of the International Gay Rugby Movement. What do you see as the future of this organisation and this competition?
Well, I think what needs to happen is that we need to have a strong focus on rugby first, and I hope the organisation continues with that focus.
What does that actually mean to you, though?
Well, I think it means that basically it needs to be about getting clubs who are dedicated to improving rugby players on the pitch. The equality issues are very important, but they follow on the basis of having some gravitas and justification for being able to do those things by saying that we are good at rugby, plus we also need to do other things. So yeah, so the tournament's been running for 9 years. Sydney Convicts have won it 5 times. You know, and it's you know, we've brought 100 people over. It's you know, it's not one person. It's not, you know, it's basically a family. And I think the gay rugby fraternity in Australia is like a family as well. You know, we love seeing the Chargers do well. We love seeing the Hustlers do well. Falcons from New Zealand, who have been playing part of the Southern Hemisphere Barbars this weekend, we love having them involved. It's about creating a brotherhood based on what the foundations and the ethos of rugby is about.
Hi, we're here with Alice Hoagland, the mother of Mark Bingham. Do you have a minute for an interview quickly?
Oh, I would just be delighted.
So this is Joy 94.9, Melbourne's gay and lesbian radio station.
Melbourne.
That's right. So we've unfortunately lost the Bingham Cup at this tournament, but we're feeling like we want to celebrate anyway. How do you feel today?
I feel as though it's a good idea for the Bingham Cup to go back to Australia, perhaps not to Melbourne, but it's going back to a very loving team. And it makes me feel wonderful that everyone here is excited about the competition and about the prospect of winning the Bingham Cup.
So we've heard today that 5 Bingham Cups to Sydney and 1 to Melbourne. That's 6 out of 9, I believe. What does that say about the quality of rugby down under?
It tells me that the guys down under really know how to play rugby.
How does it feel to be a part of a competition like this? We're 9 Binghams now, and we're heading into the 10th, and you're it.
It feels almost unbelievably fun and great and joyful for me to come back and be greeted and taken into the fold again. It feels wonderful, to answer your question. It feels absolutely wonderful. I'm so glad that you all are here. I'm so glad.
And we love it too.
Yes.
We've had a really terrific time.
Good, good. Well, spreading joy around the world then, huh?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Thanks so much
for speaking to us.
Oh, you're welcome. And come again, huh? We'll do this again.
We'll do this again in 2 years' time.
Well, yeah. I'll be here, and hopefully this time I'll be able to play.
I hope so too. I hope so too.
There is still more to come on Joy's The Informer, the news program from an LGBTI perspective.
This year there was a new addition to the Bingham Cup tournament with a women's competition, taking the inclusivity of the Bingham Cup to another level. So what was it like on and off the pitch? We caught up with Rebecca on the sidelines and Bronnie McIntosh, the former Sydney Convicts coach who now coaches the Melbourne Chargers and took to the field as part of the Bingham Cup women's competition.
I live in Boston and I'm here supporting the Boston Ironsides.
What is it like? How many Binghams have you been to?
This is my second.
Why do you love coming here?
Wow, that's a hard question. I love rugby. I love IGR rugby. I think what this has become is absolutely amazing. You know, I'm a huge Ironside supporter, and the camaraderie amongst all of these teams from around the world is one of the most amazing things.
Does it really feel like it's been 2 years since the last Bingham?
Not at all.
What have you been enjoying about this year's Bingham?
That how many sides there have been, and we're having 4 women's sides playing.
So what is it like actually finally seeing women on the field?
It's amazing because it's now truly inclusive. You know, we say it's gay and inclusive rugby, and there was this whole subset of ruggers who weren't a part of it. So now we have the women here, and it's opened the door for the women to continue and for that to grow. That rocks.
It's going to be interesting to see what the Women's League as a part of the competition becomes
yeah.
for the next Bingham.
Absolutely. But I'm looking forward to it.
So we've been watching the women's game that's happening right now.
Yes.
What is it like on the field?
I think that the guys are lucky that the girls aren't playing them because I think they kick their asses. There's some tough, tough women out there, and it's really impressive.
So you ended up playing with one of the teams in one of the bouts of the women's rugby tournament at Bingham. How'd that come about?
It just came about because I had heard that there was going to be a women's division at the Bingham Cup, And on the first day of play, I was coaching, so I couldn't play. I knew that there was a World Barbarians team, and it's always fun. It's been a lifelong kind of rugby tradition to pick up with other teams when you travel. And so I was open to the possibility, and then they made the final. They needed players, and voila.
And you just put your hand up.
I just put my hand up and
ran. It's that simple.
That's how it goes. Well, pick up rugby.
What was the match like?
It was good. I mean, it's a pretty average caliber of rugby, to be honest, but plenty of heart, plenty of passion, and that's what the whole spirit of Bingham Cup is about. So there was enough of that, and the local Dutch team from Amsterdam won, which was really good. There was a great crowd, there was a great atmosphere. All the Chargers boys stood on the sideline and cheered for me, which was just an amazing, amazing experience for me to add to my rugby repertoire.
Do you reckon it was good to be able to get the guys to actually see you play and not just have you coach all the time?
I think so. Well, I think, I certainly loved it, being out there and just feeling proud to be a rugby player that stands alongside them. And I think it was really enjoyable for them too to see that I'm a coach that will walk my talk, that I will get them to do stuff that I know how it needs to be done.
Was it hard to switch off when you're on the field and concentrate on the game, concentrate on your position?
Not really. It was more hard to not feel so out of breath and unfit and not strong.
And do you think it's fantastic that we actually had a women's league this year in Bingham?
It is good. Look, I've never been a huge supporter of pushing to get a women's division at Bingham Cup, because women's rugby generally is pretty mainstream, and LGBTIQ people are not marginalised at all as they are in men's rugby. So I never really thought that there was a need for it. But having seen that and having played in it, I can see that there's a need to have just greater diversity, that it adds another element to the Bingham Cup. And it's a great spectator sort of thing to complement the competition. So that's good.
This is The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter.
I'm going to ask you a random question. So do you know how the draw works for the Bingham Cup, how the teams are ordered?
Not at all.
So do you know how the draw works, like how they pick the teams and how they play?
I'm not sure. Hopefully that they go for extended time.
What do you mean?
So if it's a draw, they get extended time.
That's all you know?
That's all I know. That's all I know.
All right, let's find out if anyone knows how the draw actually works.
Do you know how the draw works at all?
The what?
The draw, how they decide who plays where. Do you know how?
It's about how long your team has been in and how long the people have been playing. So they will determine on that where they're going to put everybody.
Do you know how the tier works?
I have no idea.
I do.
You know how it works?
Yeah, I'm on the committee that does it all.
You're on the committee?
Yes.
How does this work?
So we try and put the teams in pools of teams that are relatively of the same standard. So we have three tiers, and the top two tiers have 20 teams, and the third tier has 30 teams, making 70 teams overall.
So how do you qualify the standard?
So we have regions in the IGR, so there's a representative of each region, and we ask the teams what tier they think they're in, and then the regional reps sort of verify that, and there's a committee, and it's all a thing. And
but there's verification, so they can't cheat their way through, can they?
No. it's still a bit of an honour system. I mean, because these teams only come together once every 2 years, we rely a lot on the honesty of the clubs to say, look, this is where we think this group's at, and so you don't really know until you get there either. So the way it works up, so of the three tiers, they break them into pools of four teams. You play each team in your pool, so you play three games, and then they arrange all the teams in order in each tier, so from 1 to 20. And then after that, they break you into a bracket of eight. So after you've played your three pool games, you end up in a bracket of eight teams playing a knockout final series. And those are much more likely to be teams at your standard because they've had a similar result in the pool.
I mean, you make it sound really logical, but everyone else finds it really confusing.
I know, right? Well, that's why I'm on the committee. I understand this shit. And so basically, on Saturday afternoon, after you've completed your third pool game, everyone will play a quarterfinal. Every single team here will play a quarterfinal. And then on Sunday morning, everyone will play a semi-final, because the winners of the quarterfinals play each other and the losers of the quarterfinals also play each other in semi-finals and then finals. So we have on offer at this tournament, I believe, about 16 different pieces of silverware. There's the Bingham Cup, the Bingham Plate, the Bingham Shield, the Bingham Bowl, the Bingham Spoon, the Bingham Vase, and so on and so on.
You're running out of silverware.
I know. I think I'm going for the Bingham Whisk this year. The Bingham Spatula, something like that. So, yes, it's designed so that everyone gets five or six games. So this is, everyone's come this far. Let's just play lots of rugby. Let's try and play it against teams of our standard and have some fun, knowing that the standards vary a lot. So it's all set up for good reason.
Now, we're in the ninth year of the Bingham Cup, aren't we?
Yes. Well, the ninth edition of the tournament. The first edition was in 2002.
It is. I think it's great that we have this kind of a competition that allows everyone to have a go in so many different ways. No matter where you play, you all get the same chance to get in there and to play at the level that you're at.
Yeah, that's right. And look, a lot of the teams that come to Bingham are really development teams. So they're teams full of, you know, gay guys who've mainly only played one or two seasons. And when they play locally, they find it hard to pair up against other teams of a similar standard. So there's often some lopsided results when they play in their local areas. And then when they go to Bingham Cup, they get the opportunity to compete against teams that are sort of at their standard and have a much more enjoyable rugby experience.
This is The Informer on Joy 94.9.
Well, we all know how the Sydney Convicts went, winning the Bingham Cup for 2018. It's one of the reasons why we're doing this episode of The Informer. But what about our other Australian teams? What were things like for the Melbourne Chargers and the Brisbane Hustlers? We find out now as we head up north and speak to the Hustlers and Chargers in Amsterdam.
How are you proud of the Hustlers for this past weekend?
Oh, always, always. Our boys did so well. For the guys that we had here, I could not ask anything more. 100% from everyone, bodies on the line the whole time. We're really happy about how we went. And, you know, I know the boys at home are really proud of us as well. We've had a bit of a tough year. And to be able to come through and put our best games on the park in this sort of tournament over this many days is awesome. So couldn't be prouder.
How long have the Hustlers been going?
So in this incarnation, I think 6 years.
See, that's something that I think is actually pretty exceptional. Because when you look at a lot of the other teams that are going a lot longer, you guys always play really hard, play really well, and put in such a solid game.
Absolutely.
And it's one that a lot of other teams are intimidated by. So you've got to be really proud of how you've done.
For sure. Look, you know, our Bingham record, I couldn't be prouder. Our first one in Sydney, made the final there. Our second one in Nashville, made the semis there. And our third one here, you know, made the semis again. But yeah, I couldn't ask more of them. You know, we're a good club, we're a good bunch of people, and the guys play for each other. So.
And now everyone gets to party.
Damn straight.
We were talking about this earlier this morning. When you were talking to some of the other teams, they were saying that the Australian teams are the team to beat. Tell me a bit about that conversation.
Yeah, it was amazing. So we had a opening street party last night here in Amsterdam, and was with clubs from all around the world, and just speaking to them, they're saying, we're never going to play the same rugby that you are. You know, you and the Australian teams are the team to beat, and we really want to be able to play like you, but we can't play with you. It's our dream to be able to play like you, essentially.
Was that surprising?
I think it was very surprising, very surprising. Like, when you watch the team, especially you see the vibe around the team when you're competing against teams in Australia, sometimes it feels like we're behind the eight ball and don't celebrate ourselves enough, but when you take it onto a global stage, we're really playing, you know, a global level of rugby.
Do you think that's something that the teams realise, the Australian teams?
I think definitely while we're in Amsterdam, yeah, there's an expectation that we are, you know, the cream of the crop, the, you know, the Hustlers, the Convicts and also the Chargers, that, you know, we are the team to beat. I think where that is, but I think just contrasting it back when we're back home, I think there's some lessons that we can learn about the energy around that surrounds the excitement around the team that we can take back to Australia and really celebrate how great we are, the great brand of rugby that we do play, you know, a great brand of inclusive rugby that we play in Australia.
What's the atmosphere like here? What's so unique about it?
Coming from a very competitive sports background, this is the most unique tournament feel that you'll ever have. The sense of community based between all the teams is just something that doesn't really appear within other sports at all. It's you're completely willing to walk up to a complete stranger, say, how are you doing, have a chat with them for 5 minutes, and that doesn't happen in other sports, and that's a really unique and fun part of Bingham.
It seems to be like a lot of other teams feel like the Australian teams are the teams to beat.
Yeah.
Is that intimidating?
It is somewhat. Like, obviously, coming into my first Bingham as playing on the defending champions, it is really intimidating to do that. But at the same time, it's a privilege to be the team that everyone is looking at, and we have the ability to push Australian rugby to the rest of the world. So why not try to force that and show what we can do to the rest of the world?
Is playing here, how is it different to playing back home?
It's really different to playing back home. Playing back home in Melbourne, it's because union is such a small sport, you're almost always going to be outclassed, out-experienced by the other teams. And it does become a bit disheartening when you're playing it. But knowing that you have a tournament like this where you're going to be coming in, you're going to be playing a whole bunch of people who are at the same experience levels, at the same level of ability, and knowing that you're going to be competitive in every game, it really keeps your head up, and it makes it a really unique experience for a lot of people. Like, there's tons of people who are on the team who literally had their first win 5 minutes ago.
And what was that like?
Wonderful.
This is The Informer on Joy 94.9.
That's it for another episode of The Informer, bringing you news and current affairs for Australia's LGBTI communities. Don't forget to follow us on social media at The Informer on Joy 94.9 on Facebook and at The Informer Joy on Twitter. If you have a story or tip you'd like to share with us, get in touch at theinformer.joy.org.au. You've been listening to The Informer on Joy 94.9. I'm Dean Arcuri.
You could say rugby was the winner, but in a better and more accurate way, Sydney has done a magnificent job of winning some great rugby. They spun it out wide to their backs, and they certainly succeeded in putting points on the board. Players now assembling for a photo. Hey, what's your name?
Ben.
And you're from the Convicts?
I am gay.
You're gay?
Yes, I am.
What do you think of the match?
Brilliant.
Can I say that? Ooh. All right, here they come. That's it, the Convicts have sung their song, and they are celebrating hard. Bruised and dejected faces, they are a happy squad.
This is The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter. Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.